morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
You pulled a slightly weird face then when I said good morning.
Oh, any reason? It gets confusing when you're recording it in an afternoon the day before, doesn't it? I still can't get my head around them. But to everybody who's listening, perhaps in the morning, good morning.
Well, we made a slight promise that things would be available for people on Wednesday morning, so we'd better stick to it,
totally.
Especially since we said. But it's so good to see you, and
thank you.
It's good to be able to come back to get into the rhythm, I think, of life at NBC.
I think that's really important, isn't it? Really important for us to begin to have that cycle and that rhythm, as you say, and keeps us all moving forward, I hope.
We're back to having four regular things happening each week, which is pretty cool. That's excluding all the stuff for kids, I should say. Mm. We've got Sunday mornings, which is very exciting. Kind of being back, not in person, but being back to being in the front of church and doing things that way around. We're still making some small, minor technical changes to improve things. But yeah, it was good fun at the weekend, and it was nice to be able to... It feels like there's a bit more of a connection between us in the church, who are pretty isolated, let's be honest. There were four people in the building at the weekend at its peak. And normally we are used to inviting many, many times that to come and join us. But as we're doing this live, it really does feel like there's a little bit more of a connection. And as we keep saying, we can't wait to be able to welcome everyone back whenever that may be. And obviously the hope provided by a vaccine is good. We've also got obviously our podcast today. We've got a new Bible study coming tonight. Why don't you very quickly share what that's about?
Yeah, so last year we did a study on Ruth, which was put together by London Institute of Contemporary Christianity in their new Gateway 7 series. And it's a fascinating series, actually, and I hope over time we might be able to dip into each one of those seven. So this is on Ezekiel, really, and it's subtitled Living in the Light of God's Presence. And I just felt it was a really good tie-in to our motto text for the year, Colossians 1:10. You're probably fed up of me saying it already, but it seems to have a little sort of ring to me. And it's short, isn't it? So it's easy to remember, to live a life... what is it, Tom? To live a life worthy of the Lord.
And
please him in every way.
Or walk in his ways, of course, depending on which version. Yes. Both wonderful.
But living in the light of God's presence seemed to make a lot of sense. And actually, it's good for us to dip it back into the Old Testament. I think when we studied Ruth, it was great. I really loved not only reading Ruth, but also the insights of everyone who was part of that study as well. And I learned so much from everybody's understanding of Scripture, because for them, it's bedded in the reality of their lives. And that's the beauty for Scripture for me, that we read it in the context of our own lives, which is so important, that God is speaking now, today. And Ezekiel is quite a big book, actually. It's a bit long, so we can't do it all, but there are 6 weeks looking at different passages, and I think really, really helpful. And I think one of the great things about LICC's material is, and I understand NBC did Fruitfulness on the Front Line, I think, a few years ago, and that was LICC. And this Gateway series has that as its sort of framework, is how can I be fruitful in my front line in the light of what God's saying through his word today. So I think it ties in so well. All of us have a front line, you know, whether we're employed or whether we're not, whatever age we are, there is always a front line for us. There are people who we meet, who we talk to, there's family, there's friends, there's neighbours, there's work colleagues, there's school mates, college mates, you know, all of us have a front line. And so I think it's just so relevant across all the ages. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to digging into Ezekiel. It's a book that I've read, but it's quite difficult to understand some of it. So I'm looking forward to the insights that everybody's going to bring to it. So yeah, that's tonight at 7:30 to 8:30. And we'll send out the questions and the update that's gone out today as well. So even if you can't join the Zoom meeting, then you might be able to dig into the text a little bit on your own. And please drop us a line if there's anything that we can help with as you study that, and any insight you have, we can add it into our conversation as well. So yeah, brilliant. Looking forward to it.
And then Thursday, we're doing it back to front this week, the podcast, aren't we? And
yes.
We're saying what's going on this week. first. And then Thursday night, we've got Alpha. And I'm sure most people listening know what Alpha is. If you've joined us for any of our Sunday mornings recently, you'll have seen a very snazzy, snappy advert that pops up for about a minute explaining what Alpha is. But Alpha is a great way to invite people to start asking these big questions about life, and gives people an opportunity to hear the gospel in a very informal, I think I'd say, informal, but incredibly well done way. I think we take it for granted, don't we, some of these resources these days, but it really is, it does a far better job than I think we could do if we were doing it ourselves. Of course, you don't get that same thing of being able to ask these personal questions, which is what Alpha lets you do. But just watching these videos is an incredible thing. So our Alpha journey, as it were, begins on Thursday night at 7:30. And again, details of how you can join in have been sent out or will be sent out by email, depending on when you're listening to this. And we're really looking forward to it. There's quite a few people already who have signed up, so you won't be the only person who is from the church on it. And yeah, anything more to add to that?
Well, I just heard a little interview with Nicky Gumbel and his wife Pippa Gumbel, who Nicky Gumbel was the one who sort of reimagined Alpha at Holy Trinity Brompton and launched it, made it available. And he was saying this week that they're starting Alpha HDB again. They run it 3 times a year there, and it's his 92nd Alpha. So that's not bad, is it? So
that's not bad going at all.
3 a year, that's 30 years. So he's in his 31st year now, which is quite amazing, isn't it? So quite phenomenal. But it never tires of getting something new and fresh out of it. So, and it's great to have a conversation as well with people who are exploring faith, seeking a deeper faith. And we're looking forward to it. There's a lovely mixture of people who have signed up already, different ages and different experiences and contexts. But together, God will have something very fresh to say to us all, no matter how young or old Christians we are, I'm sure. So, yeah, always exciting to do Alpha. Never tire of that.
Fantastic. Good. Well, there's lots going on, and get involved with as many things as you want to. But from us here at church, I guess our main thing that we'd love to say get involved with is our Sunday gatherings. And you just wanted to reflect a little bit on kind of what we touched on last Sunday and what we encourage people to think about in the run-up to Christmas. So we're sort of joining them all together into a big review of review of hope. I think that's I'll call it that, a review of hope.
That's good. I like that, yeah. It's fascinating with Paul, isn't it? And when he has this, he often speaks in threes, doesn't he? You know, which is why all great preachers have 3 points in their sermons, you see, because Paul often has 3 things to say, although we're starting a series of 4 things coming up on Sunday. But never mind. He 1 Corinthians 13, of course, the very famous chapter on love. He ends by saying these 3 things remain: faith, hope and love. And in Colossians 1 that we looked at on Sunday, he flips the order a little bit and he talks about faith, love and hope. And I quite like that order, actually. I mean, nothing wrong with 1 Corinthians 13, and I wouldn't dispute Paul's desire to put it in. But I like the fact that this 3 in Colossians ends with hope. And in Colossians 1 verse 5, he says, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. And I love that image of this hope which springs out of the faith and love that spring from hope, and how this is a real foundation to what else is happening in our lives, sort of how we manage the difficulties and challenges that we face, and how we use that as a springboard to enjoy what God has given us as well. The faith and love that spring from hope, and how foundational this idea of hope is. And I think one of the big challenges, there's been many challenges, hasn't there, over the last we're coming up to 10 months now, aren't we, which is a crazy thing to think about. It is maintaining this sense of hope, because certainly in the early stages, and I think as we moved forward, fear often dominated our thinking. And I know that was true with many people I had conversations with, because it was unknown and uncertain. And so fear began to dominate. And we, you know, we have to acknowledge fear, very real part of our life, you know, and very real part. We're not there just to ride roughshod over the real fears that we have. And I think it's good to acknowledge fears. But I sense there's a little bit of a turnaround now, as we move into this new year, of some hope that we have. And so I think a lot of that is tied up with the vaccine, obviously, and that is a very real light at the end of a very long tunnel. And that sense of hope that actually also comes into our lives in terms of our faith as well, that out of this, God is going to do something new and something different in our lives and in the life of the church, in the life of the nation as well. And one of the things we did in terms of our community at Christmas was, as well as to send invites out for our Christmas services online, we sent them a wooden bauble. And thank you to all of those of you who distributed these over that pre-Christmas period. And I think we sent out about 400 invites and 400 of these baubles. And we invited people to write their hopes and fears on them, and if they wanted to bring them and hang them on the tree outside MBC. Now, we didn't get many. I've got five here. But nonetheless, I think it's good for us just to look and see what's on these. So could I just let me just read out the fears that were written on here, OK? So fears for the future. Fears increases in poverty, homelessness and despair. This person wrote, my fear is that vaccines may not be as successful as we need, so that the virus goes on and people continue to be kept apart. I think a very real fear for many people at that time, and since then the news has been a little better. Fears of health and loneliness, and fears of falling short in my service to God, which is quite a heartfelt expression as well. And I'm sure some of those fears do echo the fears of many of you who are listening, the fears that you have had during this particular time. And it's those things come out in the Christmas story, don't they? Fears.
Mm.
And we looked at that a little bit before Christmas as well, the fears of each of the characters in it. And it's nicely summed up, isn't it, Tom, in that carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. There's a line in there, isn't there, which sort of rings out a little bit this year more than ever, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose O Little Town of Bethlehem is often conceived as being this twee song that tells the Christmas story, and we sing it at a nativity play, but it actually has this amazing claim that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And I guess it's quite easy to see how hope is fulfilled, actually, and in the world around us. You're absolutely right in saying that the hope that it feels like there's a little bit more hope now, but there was a lot of false hope over the last 12 months as well. There's been a lot of times when there's been people who've kind of had hope in things that just hasn't come out. But it's more interesting to see that the fears of all the years were met in Bethlehem, that the night was Jesus born. And I think this comes down to a couple of different things, doesn't it? Where the coming of Jesus into the world kind of lessens some of our fears. It doesn't remove them. Let's not kid ourselves into that these things are removed. But the things like, let's say, rejection and loneliness and isolation, things that were mentioned on those baubles, Jesus comes in and answers some of those things. You know, the Bible says that we are so loved by God that nothing can separate us from him. And Jesus is that realization. Jesus is that living person, the living being that we can know as being close to us when we're struggling, when we are fearful. One of the first sermons you gave us, Tim, was how to follow Jesus when I'm fearful of our lockdown. And I think that was one of the things that you reminded us of, that actually Jesus promises that he is with us. And there's so many other things. You know, people who are worried that someone wrote about poverty, didn't they? Well, Jesus says that he will meet our material needs. that, and again, some of this is that we have to be careful not to just go straight in there and say there's no reason to fear whatsoever because of all of this, because that leads to naivety. But actually, there's no reason for us to fear about where God is in all of this. Because actually, we're told that these things, God, Jesus is in control. And ultimately, when we think further on in the story, Jesus is reminding us that actually we need not fear death because Jesus has conquered it and brought us into this position where we know with certainty what's happening.
Yeah, and fear is so much a part of our life. And I think what's great through the Bible text, and it does come to a focus in the biblical, in the Christmas story, that I never think the angels are telling the characters off for being afraid, you know?
No, not at all.
I never hear it as a sharp, head teachers, voice of, don't be so stupid, you shouldn't be fearful of anything, because God's in control. Well, no, I think it's a learning process. And do not be afraid, which is in the Old Testament as well, isn't it? You know, many times, you know, there all sorts of things, and the disciples in the boat with Jesus were afraid of him when he calmed the storm. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's never a sense that you're being dumb for being afraid, you know, because fear is very much part of our human reality and our context.
It's,
you know,
part of what makes us human.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of these things, the way that we respond to moments of adversity. Mm-hmm. Is what makes us different from so many other animals. Actually, I was reading something about various animals. I can't remember where it came up, but it was over the Christmas period, where there's a number of animals where they have no ability to do anything about a bad situation. So they resort to the one thing that they know what to do, and that is to turn and run in the other direction. But humans, they're all, sometimes that is the appropriate response, but a lot of the time that isn't what we do. We do not turn and run away, because actually we are able to rationalise and go through this process of responding when things go wrong. And actually, as Christians, we're told to respond in a certain way. We're told to look to Jesus and look to his words, his comfort, his teaching, his ways, in order to help get us through these difficult things. And we've seen this, haven't we? And it's going to become a point of contention, clearly. But we've seen the importance of religious activities and the importance of Christians being able to still worship as they are wanting to do. Because actually, this is a lifeline for many, many, many people. And it's been wonderful to hear from, from some of our more senior members of the church family, some of them who don't have internet access, who are listening to us on a CD right now, who have been saying that actually it really has been a lifeline being able to stay connected to us and keep getting teaching from us, because you don't realise how isolating it can be. But actually, through some of the things that we're doing, and it's not just us doing this podcast or our church services, it's through what people are doing, what friends and Christians are doing for people, is actually just giving that little bit of life that they need to calm their fears wherever they are.
And I think that brings hope, doesn't it? You know, I think to know that you're not on your own, you know, is really important, and that does bring some hope that things will be different, that things can change, that there's folk who are close to us. Yeah, we draw hope because of our past experiences of what God's done in our lives as well. And you know, all of us have been through testing times. You know, Isaiah in his, you know, great passage talks about when you go through the waters, when you go through the fire, you know, I will be with you. And we gain hope because of our past experiences, that God hasn't let us down. And those things are so important, aren't they? And when, you know, Paul says about faith and love springing from that hope, it just seems so much that there is this reservoir, this resource of something that actually then impacts, you know, how we live our lives. Not dismissing the fears, but actually we build on those fears and we build on those tough things that have happened. But we can still grow faith and love as well. And this is the other side of the bauble, really, that we wanted to say to people, what are your hopes for this year? And so here's one: hope for a more caring world, which is lovely because that's on the other side of fears for the future. But actually, out of that, there comes a hope that actually, no, things can be better as a result of this. Hopes for understanding between generations, kindness growing, reconciliation. You know, it's been such a fractured year, hasn't it? You know, not only in the States, but we've seen it here. And, you know, we look at the States still and we think, oh, my goodness, what's going on there? And sometimes we just don't know how to react to it because it just seems so far away. But that's an echo of something deeper that's not only going on there and here, but in many countries, but the hope of reconciliation that we can keep clinging hold of because of who God is. Hope that the Lord will bless us with a real vaccine.
Wow.
That's on the back of the fear of no vaccine, which is fantastic, isn't it? Because this is the example of hope that comes out of it. Will bless us with a real vaccine that can be given to all and allow us to get back to our social lives. You know, wow, fantastic. And that was written before vaccines, which is great. So the country will have a better community. What a beautiful hope that is, isn't it? And that's a hope that all of us can become part of the solution to. You know, it's up to us to build that better community. And on the back of falling short in my service to God comes the hope of even greater faith, which is a beautiful thing, isn't it? You know, that it's not just getting stuck in the fear, but it's actually saying, no, come on, my hope is for even greater faith in this. And so thank you to those of you that did put those on. I'm sure others would have filled them in and kept them at home and hung them on their own trees.
Yeah, ours is hung up at our house. We didn't drop it off at church.
No.
That's not brilliant. Hung up anymore, but yeah, we took ours down.
And that's the balance, isn't it, for a follower of Jesus. The fears that are real, but also the hope. And out of that hope, as Paul says, you know, spring faith and love, which drive us on into this new year with some confidence in what God's going to do in us and through us individually, at work, school, college, home, with families, with our marriages, our friendships. And, you know, we're looking forward to what God's going to birth new, what's going to spring out of, you know, this hope that we can carry now into the future as well. So, yeah, good. It's good, isn't it? Good and exciting. And to keep connected to God and to one another in the midst of all this will give us that ongoing hope for the future as well.
And it's great to think, isn't it? Actually, it sounds really silly, but we talked about for the very first time a couple of days ago, me and Tim, the small matter of Easter, which sort of seems a very long way away. But I guess you can't have the Christmas story without the Easter story, because if the Easter story doesn't happen, the Christmas story is irrelevant. Mm. And I suppose, you know, thinking back to the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, how are the hopes of the world fulfilled in Jesus? Well, he comes to us in a specific way. He comes as the long-awaited Messiah, who the most beautiful part of what, well, I mean, there's loads of brilliant parts, but one of the most beautiful parts of the Christmas story is shortly after Jesus' birth, when Simeon and Anna are there, and you see the response of these two people who have been waiting. They have sat, and Simeon has sat for many years waiting for Jesus to be there, and then he knows it's this beautiful moment. He knows that he can now in a way give up his life because he's seen it. He all of the hope that he had has been fulfilled. And I suppose for us, the hope that we see in Jesus is sort of plays out over the Easter story, doesn't it? And it's an incredibly sad story. And there were moments of extreme fear during it. But throughout all of it, the hope that comes as a result of Sunday is still the same hope that we can have today. Jesus is still watching out for us. He's still there amidst everything that's going on. And I know it can be hard to sometimes see. But Jesus is there. God is there. When you're reading those hopes and fears that people have, God is working in our world right now. And in a way, have some hope in that. Hold
and
on
what
to
a
it.
What a line for Easter as well. You know, what a line for the cross, the hopes and fears of all the years. are met in thee tonight, this day, you know, in this moment of crucifixion and in the moment of resurrection, the hopes and fears of all the years. You know, conquering death, you know, in that moment through resurrection, conquers the greatest fear that we probably have as humans, and the one that we reconcile through the empty tomb and that hope of eternity and that's promised to us in God's word as well. So, yes, a lot to be hopeful for, but I'm so aware that there are still many fears out there, and we need to acknowledge those and bring them to God before him, to out, you know, say them out loud. It's real. You know, Christianity isn't about just, just pretending. You know, that's not real faith, is it? Faith includes doubt. You know, the two aren't opposite, are they? You know, faith and doubt walk hand in hand in our journey. And but out of it all comes this hope that springs, as Paul says, springs from what the hope stored up for you in heaven. What a beautiful perspective to have. And while we're waiting, we keep going to convey that hope to in the lives of other people as well.
As we finish today, we are going to pray together. And as we were doing for some of the weeks before Christmas, we're going to be praying using the Unite 714 prayer guide that's being produced every week in conjunction with 24/7 prayer. And it guides us through various passages of the Bible and links them into everything that's going on in the world right now, whether it's COVID, whether it's political pain or despair. And it gives us an opportunity to pray directly into it alongside hundreds of other countries who are all praying this same prayer. Before we pray, I want to read to you some verses from Psalm chapter 23. And this is starting at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have been walking through the valley of the shadow of death for many months now. In a world scarred by division and traumatized by pain, the temptation to succumb to fear and despair is constant. This pandemic has resulted in many physical deaths, but also emotional, mental, financial, and economic downfalls as well. Today, however, we choose to fear no evil, for you are with us. Your presence and power are greater than anything we have faced or ever will face. Our souls are comforted and secured by the fact that you are both the sovereign of the universe and our loving shepherd.
Lord, in the midst of conflict, challenge, and pain, you promise to prepare a table of provision for us. We come to your table today knowing we will find renewed strength as we worship you and feed on your word. Lord, we are desperate for a fresh infilling of your spirit. We cling to your promise to anoint our heads with oil. This anointing will bring faith, hope, love, and joy as your fresh life and love flows to us and through us to those around us. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, freshly fill us with your spirit today. Embolden and empower us for evangelism as we share the gospel with those around us. We ask that you would send a mighty revival and rend the veil of spiritual darkness, blinding the eyes of the world's people. May your faith, hope, and love flow into our lives with the torrential power, bringing an overflow into our communities, cities, and nations. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, normally right now we'd be saying all the things that are coming up this week, but we did at the start, didn't we?
So we'll leave that space open for God to do even even more new Fantastic. Things in all of us. So keep an eye out for what God's going to do. And maybe there'll be some moments for you to be able to share that faith, love and hope with someone who's near you as well. So thank you. Thanks for joining us. And yeah, keep on inviting people to connect in with us. And let's see what God wants to do during this season.
God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you hopefully at either our Bible study tonight, Alpha tomorrow, or if neither of those things are you're available to join us for, then join us on Sunday morning for the first part of our new series. See you soon.
Bye.